Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and this is a location on the internet where you will find that we deal with real issues that men have to face on a daily basis. We're all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. God's Word states, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Brother, that's what it's all about. It's about, man, one guy talking with another guy and just helping each other out. Sometimes it could seem like a wrestling match, and at other times it could be just totally in tears and saying, I can't do this and I need help, and the help is right there. Sometimes we need that Jesus in the flesh. And not that this is a segue to it, but I've got Steve in the studio with me today. Good to have you here, brother.
Good morning, Raul.
And as we normally start off all of our shows, you know, we get right into letting you know that the meat of this whole thing is going to be in, I think, one of the most important psalms that kicks it all off. And you'll have to stay tuned to listen to that. But we'll come back to that at the start of after the next break. But in the meantime, we like to answer an email that one of you have sent in. And you, if you have help, I need help. If you have a challenge in your life, you something going on, something you need clarification on, or maybe just not sure exactly what direction to go, you can email us at help@bandofbrothersradio.com. We will answer your email anonymously and be able to let you know what day you actually sent that in. We won't even know who they are, the guys here in the studio, when we read those things. But that's where we're going to head right now. We're going to kick it off with an email that Steve's kind of looked over a few of them. And so, hey, what have we got today, brother?
Well, Raul, have you ever wondered how two people can pray to the same God and seem to come up with two different answers?
Have I ever wondered that?
Have you ever wondered how? I mean,
oh yeah.
I'm sure you've experienced it.
Yes.
Two people praying about the same situation, praying to the same God, and feel like they have two different answers. That's a challenging proposition.
Absolutely.
And that's the substance of today's email. This brother writes, "I need prayer and advice for the restoration of my marriage with my wife. My wife left our marriage about a year ago. She said God had released her from our marriage. I know this is not biblical because there was no adultery. We have a hearing coming up next month, and I'm asking that God will soften her heart. She has surrounded herself with people that are encouraging her in this and giving her bad advice. I can't talk to her, and she's pushing towards divorce." So here is a separated husband and wife, and is often the case. We don't have the background details, but she feels that God has released her from the marriage, and he feels that the marriage should still be intact. What would you say to this brother?
Well, I'd probably ask a couple more questions as far as what's going on in his life, what has been going on, how long they've been married, you know, what took place prior to them coming together. Are there any children involved? It doesn't sound like there would be. I think that would be something that would be pretty important. He probably would have stated there. But in this case here, if he's got a hearing coming up and she's asking, and I take it for the divorce itself.
That's what it appears.
And, you know, one of the things that I would probably go toward, or at least point him toward, is, again, continuing to pray. He prays for his wife for a softening of the heart. And I know that in this case here, if he is in prayer, you are probably one that I would like to believe that you actually have other men that you can actually, that you're being either mentored by or a pastor that is keeping you covered, that you're actually, you know, surrounding yourself with godly men. I would make sure that you're taking a good look at everything in your life that could be have any indication as to what is taking place. You mentioned that there may not be any adultery involved, but then if there were, have you ever done anything in secret nobody else ever knew about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there could be maybe not the complete truth that's brought out here, okay? But I would take a look at you and how, what's going on in your life. Is there any indication of things that maybe you might have done to be able to move this in that direction, maybe unconsciously? You know, sometimes I do things without thinking twice about it that actually would probably, in a sense, after a period of time, eventually somewhere along the line would irritate my wife. But if I don't know of that that's wrong or nobody's saying anything to me, I continue to do it until there's that point where maybe she's not going to say anything and she just says, boom, I've had enough. I'm out of here. You know, so you might want to take a look at that. And I'm only saying that for one reason only. One is that if there is something that's taking place, that you are actually have an opportunity of being able to bring that into the light, to be able to face it, okay? And maybe even after some acceptance on your part, being able to disclose it to her. Maybe she's waiting for you to say something about this. Maybe not. The other thing is that, you know, being able to accept something, continuing to pray, I think God, the Holy Spirit, will actually comfort you and give you a means of being able to accept what's going on. Not that you have to demand and make things work, because you know what? I can stir things up, but it's God that actually makes them work. So I believe that you're drawing closer to Him. Most important thing right now. If there are no children involved, that you're working and you're taking care of business, you continue to do that. But I would increase your time with the Lord in His Word, and continuing praying even more for your wife prior to this. Other than that, I almost need to ask some questions and get some more feedback from her.
Well, we don't have a lot of background information here. My observation, in harmony with what you just said, is that for this brother needs to step back from the situation and understand that he has no control over his wife, over her emotions, over who she talks to, over who gives her counsel. The only person he can work on in this equation is himself. And when you said he should draw near to the Lord, that is the pathway for him to take, to lay it out there before God and seek the Lord. Now, there are a couple of other things here that leak through between the lines of this email. He mentions they're separated, but there's been no adultery. So as if that is the only grounds perimeters in which people can get divorced. And sometimes Christians make this mistake in men. They feel like, you know, you're legally bound to me. We haven't committed adultery. You have to be my wife. What men don't understand is that over a period of time, if they continue consistently to wound the spirit of their wife. There may not be adultery, Raoul. There may not be pornography. There may not be anything that we would say is ungodly. But if a man continues over a period of time to wound the spirit of his wife, when we're married, I was thinking about this the other day. We tell each other, a husband reflects back to the wife who she is. When he says, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, when he expresses that in his emotions and when he says it with his words, he's telling her who she is, affirming her Christ-given identity. Right. And she, when she respects him and treats him with honor, she's telling him who she is, who he is. Mm-hmm. And when we fail to do that over a period of time, we may not do the things that Christians typically would call sinful. But if you keep wounding the spirit of your spouse, and this goes both ways, eventually what happens is they begin to close their spirit because the pain of being wounded is too great. And it doesn't happen in an instant. It doesn't happen in a week or a month. Right. But over a period of time, their spirit closes and their heart closes, and then all of a sudden they drift away. Mm-hmm. Now, she's getting counsel from somebody, it appears, that's telling her that she's on the right track. We don't know the situation. But it is interesting to me that two people can pray to the same God and come up with a different answer. Mm-hmm. And what I want to say to that is, when we lay our lives open before the Lord, mm-hmm. and our hearts are transparent before Him, mm-hmm. and when we say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, only then do we get in tune with the Holy Spirit, right. and understand God's direction for our lives. But when we go to God with a pre-planned roadmap and say, Lord, put your stamp on this. This is what I want to do and why I want to do it. Mm-hmm. And then we walk away and find other people that'll tell us what we want to hear. Mm-hmm. That's a prescription for disaster.
Yes.
So I'd encourage this brother, seek God with all your heart. Rebuild your relationship as far as possible. Be soft, be tender, and be open to the possibility that maybe, as you mentioned, there are some things in his life that have contributed to this situation. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't know. It may or may not be the case. But one thing is for sure. If you'll stay broken and humble before God, no matter how this comes out, God is a restorer. He's a rebuilder. He gives beauty for ashes. You know, weeping may last for a night, but yes. joy comes in the morning. And there is life on the other side of these train wrecks. Mm-hmm. And we just want to encourage this brother, no matter what, follow hard after Jesus.
And there you go, brother. Thank you for sending that in. All right, guys, you might want to go get your Bible and maybe something to mark that Bible up with, because we're going to give you something that is, you know what, I can hardly wait, but we're going to have to wait at least 2 minutes here. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. I've got Steve in the studio with me, and we're inside, and I look outside, I see blue sky. But you know what? Today, Steve, we're going to be, you wanted to kick off on in a book in the Bible that has a lot of wisdom, a lot of direction, a lot of prayer. It has some sadness in there, but there's some good stuff in this book. And so, why don't we kick it off the way you'd like to have this thing kicked off?
Well, we're going to lay a foundation this morning, Raul, and we're going to ask God to direct us through selected psalms. And we're going to begin with Psalm 1. And as we know, Jesus said, the wise man builds his house upon the rock. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. On the sunny day, like today, it doesn't matter whether your house is built on the rock or the sand. They look great.
Mm-hmm.
But what we know is the sun is not going to shine every day. What we know is that sooner or later in life, to every person, a storm will come. And in that day, if your house is built upon the shifting sands of human reason and human experience and trust in yourself, it's going to get washed away. Mm-hmm. But the house that's built upon the rock, that's the house that's going to stand. And so I want to say this morning, the man who builds his life upon the rock, Christ Jesus, and upon the living Word of God. I hear some of these Christian philosophies that, you know, if you believe right, speak right, act right, think right, you know, nothing but good things are going to happen to you. And I don't know where you're at on this, but I firmly disagree, because my observation is that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Trials come to every person. That's right. And the Christian men who I know who are fervently seeking God face the same challenges everybody else faces.
That's right.
Financial, work, marriage, children, health, those things come to all of us. The difference being is that the man who trusts in God doesn't collapse when life deals him a curve, throws him a curveball. But the man whose house is built upon the sand cannot stand in the storm. So Psalm 1 is a foundation. And we're gonna mine this morning and see what we can learn. And I also happen to know that this is a passage of Scripture that you have been reflecting upon recently. But let me read it. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So, my brother, let me begin by just asking you, what's been your personal experience with this psalm recently?
Well, this psalm is important to me because my wife, who came up to me this last year, and let me know that she's actually been praying this psalm over me. Okay, and when I went and looked at it even more closely, I started realizing, how cool it is that she does that. Okay, first and foremost. Second, I looked at it to see exactly what it is that I do that lines up with what it's saying here. And I've got to tell you, brother, there is something that that I am blessed. There is no doubt. That does not mean that I am perfect by any means, but I know this is that when I read this and when I go through with this, is that God empowers me. He gives me not only the men in my life to help or to pray for me and with me, but I know that there's security in that. Okay? I really feel that there's an actual covering that takes place when I seek Him. It doesn't mean that I just sit home and just pray all day and hoping that God's going to put, you know, money in the mailbox and take care of all the bills and all this stuff. No, He empowers me to be the man that I am called to be.
Well, one of the things that I like about this psalm, and we know that every word of Scripture applies to men and women. When you look at Proverbs 31, however, it talks about the virtuous woman.
Right.
And gives her characteristics. That doesn't mean there aren't principles in there that also apply to us as men.
Right.
But I love Psalm 1 because it says, blessed is the man.
Yes.
And this is a man's story. And it's really a picture of two different lives. Mm-hmm. So you'll notice in verse 1, it says, blessed is the man. But he identifies one man who walks in the counsel of the wicked, stands in the way of sinners, and sits in the seat of mockers. Mm-hmm. So that's a picture of the world's wisdom. Mm-hmm. Going back to this email that we read just a few moments ago, where the wife is getting counsel, it's interesting when somebody's on the verge of divorce, they usually seek out people that will that have been through the same experience and oftentimes encourage them and counsel them through it. And obviously the person is looking for comfort and care, mm-hmm. but they frequently get pulled a direction by the counselors that they bring around their lives. Mm-hmm. And that's true for, in this case, apparently for this woman, and it's also true for men. But there's the possibility that we can have people around our lives, and we're seeking their counsel, but they don't have the mind of Christ. They don't revere and reverence the things of God. And they may be wise politically, they may be wise business, they may be very savvy, they may be very successful, but they're going to give us a perspective that leaves Christ out. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the scripture says here in verse 2 that this man, he doesn't seek that kind of counsel, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now get this, and on his law, he meditates day and night. Now, what does that mean to you when you think about a man who meditates on God's law day and night? So visualize you've got all these other voices going on around you. Mm-hmm. But this man, it's like he's got something going on inside of him. Mm-hmm. You've got the counsel of the wicked. You've got those that are standing in the way of sinners. You've got those that are over here in the seat of the mockers. You've got all this turbulence and noise going on around you all day long, mm-hmm. all these voices, all these messages. But this man's internalized something. It's like he's within himself. There's something going over and over and over. He's meditating on God's word day and night. Mm-hmm. So how does a man do that? What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked me that because, you know, that's something that even more recently that I get encouraged to do this. And that's to stay focused. You know what? There's something about when I'm focused on doing God's will in everything that I do. It's no matter what. I remember the drills and playing football in practice that you'd actually have the football, you'd have to run through a lineup where there are two guys guys on each side of you. And you're going to go through and they're going to be trying to hit the ball out. They're going to be hitting you, trying to knock that ball out of you. But you need to hang on to it and you need to run through this line of about 20 guys, 10 on each side. By the time you get through the other end, you're all kind of beat up and everything else, and sometimes the ball's not in your hand. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget the coach always saying, you stay focused on holding on to that ball and nothing else. You just keep going forward. And I remember that drill. I remember going through that drill. I remember the ball falling out. I remember getting pushed over. I remember all the things that took place. That's what that reminds me of life today. This is exactly what takes place. Because I follow Christ doesn't mean that everything's going to move out of the way. If anything, it gets a little tighter and the hits get harder. But if I stay focused on holding on to the ball, in this case here, focusing on God's will in my life, all of a sudden I can get through that day. And by the end of the day, I'm saying, hey, you know what? I think I've done well. You know, I didn't drop the ball. You know, I didn't fall into temptation, and that would lead me into sin, into dismay, and probably throw the whole thing apart. Do I feel like that? Yeah, sometimes. I get tired of the hits. But you know what? I persevere, because that's what the Word tells me. So I'm focused on His Word and what He tells me. I try to absorb that and actually apply it into my life.
Okay, so you're meditating on God's Word day and night, and you're saying that you're focused. And this is a conversation that you and I have had with great frequency, this issue of being focused, of having a target that you're aiming for, mm-hmm. and keeping your eye well sighted on that target. And that becomes your vision. And as you focus on that, it pulls you towards your vision. But the scripture says here that he's meditating day and night, that this is something that's going on in his mind and in his heart, mm-hmm. correct?
Correct.
And what I just heard you say is that for you, that's like holding the football, doing the drill, and that you're gripping it, you're embracing it. So this is something that's going on inside of you. But so how do you control your thoughts? I mean, that's what we're talking about, isn't
right,
it?
Right.
I mean, basically, you're telling me that you're thinking about God's word and the love of God and the grace of God. You're meditating on it day and night. So how do you hang on to the football. How do you control your thoughts?
And I believe that's where that part of meditation is here. I don't think it necessarily means that I'm just sitting over with the Bible and I'm sitting there and just reading His Word and then just closing my eyes. No, because things have to get done throughout the day. So the best way for me to do that, see, when I believe I'm in God's Word, I'm actually in His presence. And that's what He so desires. So when I'm in the world, so to speak, and I'm doing what I need to do, there's one thing that I learned a long, long time ago that keeps me in God's presence when I'm in gratitude, when I'm saying, thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for being able to have enough money to put fuel in my vehicle. Thank you, Father, for, you know, being able to have the clothes that I have. Thank you, Father, for the air that I breathe. Thank you, Father, for, you know, the traffic not being as heavy as it is. Or thank you, Father, for the traffic being as bad as it is that I can actually pull out my little Bible here and read your word as I'm waiting. Okay, so most of my thoughts I try to keep there. Now, does that mean that I'm constantly? No, I'm human. I actually end up, you know, listening to the radio sometimes. I actually sing, and I sound pretty good in the car by myself. Anyone else in there, they're not going to agree with that. So it's really, I try to surround, because you know what, brother? That it's kind of like just being in, you know, in His world, you know, totally. And I try to do that as much as possible. And I hang around or with people who want to do the same thing. Not necessarily singing going down the road, but talking about what God's doing in our lives. And, you know, it tells me not to hang out with people that are unequally yoked, you know, to hang out with believers. That doesn't mean that I don't hang out with people who are unequally yoked. I have lunch with them. I know them. I have friends that are not believers. But I always end up bringing, they know who I am and who I stand for. I don't, you know, slam dunk them into believing what I believe. So I think an awful lot of it is in my own head that I actually sit there. If I can just recognize the simple fact that He is in my life by saying thank you, and the Word tells me to be joyful always, pray continually, you know, give thanks in all circumstances, that's God's will for me.
Okay, so we're sitting here this morning, and there's somebody listening, and their house is going into foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
There's another man who's listening, and perhaps his wife has left him for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
There's another man, perhaps, who's listening, and the doctor gave him bad news yesterday. There's another guy who's listening, and he's lost his job. I mean, real men facing real problems.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me, if I understand you, that in the midst of those kinds of trials, it's possible to continue to think about Jesus, to think about the Word, to reflect gratefulness to God day and night, in other words, all the time. I mean, I understand going to church and having an hour on Sunday where you think about the Lord and do your religious thing, but you're telling me that this is something, even in those kinds of circumstances, that a man can do all the time?
All the more so, and it's more meaningful at those times, because when challenges come into our lives, and I'll tell you, I'll give you my example, my personal example. During my divorce, and this last divorce that I had, I'll never forget when my buddies dropped off all my boxes that I had of the few things that I had and put them in my one-bedroom apartment. And I remember when my buddy Ken left and he said, "You all right?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'll talk to you later." And he closed the door and walked out. And I'll hear all these boxes, and here I am in this place that's unfamiliar, that I haven't, you know, and everything I own of the world is right here, okay? And I'll never forget, man, I went right to my knees, and I just started weeping. I said, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I can't do anything right, it seems like, but I need you. I do not want to lose that, because I want to believe that you are there. I want to draw near to you. Please reveal yourself to me." And I just made a covenant with him. I said, "It's going to be you and me. I want to continue on with the ministry that I'm doing. I want to continue working to be able to get out of debt, to be able to help my family." And you know what, brother? I got to tell you, all I had to do was, it's like he, at that moment in time, and it was just not a moment, it was a period of, you know, an hour or so that actually went by. There was a lot of, you know, I sit there and remorsing and just going through the process. But what ended up happening is that I ended up realizing that he was being faithful. He gave me something that I asked for. And all of a sudden I said, "Okay, I need to use all of my will to seek to do his will." I had to rediscipline myself into reading his word every morning. I did, you know, I had to change my life, had to change. I got rid of cable TV. I only read biblical things. I took care of business that I needed to at work. I didn't go out and have fun with other women and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. It was about all taking care of business with him, because I got to that place of realizing that this is it, man. This is my last shot. Why is it that I always have to go to the very last thing is usually him? Okay, but I did. And when I did that, brother, then things started to change. And that's put me on the right path. And it, you know, it's been rocky, it's been challenging, but that's the way life is. But I've been able to go through that without having to falter. I haven't had to default back to the old things, old way of handling life. And all of a sudden, life becomes blessed in a certain sense. And all of a sudden, I start to see things. My life changed.
So what I just heard you say is that you came to a moment in your life where you decided to not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Mm-hmm. That you came to a moment in your life where you decided to not stand in the way of sinners.
That's right.
That you came to a moment in your life where you decided you would not sit in the seat of the mockers. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes when people hear our story, we make it sound shorter and easier than it really was. But what I just heard you say is there was a turning point in your life where you said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. All I want is you. And at that moment, and you just described it, you became focused on the Word of God.
Yes.
You, like a rifle shot, you began to delight yourself in the Lord, and you began looking to him for all that you needed emotionally and spiritually, and your focus began to meditate on the law of God, the Word of God, the love of God, day and night.
Yes.
And then things over a lengthy period of time, with ups and downs and trials, with victories, with defeats, that it wasn't just overnight everything changed, which is sometimes how we tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we're on this side of it, sometimes it feels that way. But the reality is you had to learn to trust in God.
Amen.
So for that man out there who has lost his job, for that man who has gotten bad news from the doctor, for that man whose marriage is falling apart, the message here this morning is you've got to make a choice. You're going to stand in the way. You're going to go your natural mind, stand in the way of sinners, mock God, get the counsel of the wicked, or here in this moment, this painful, real moment, will you begin to delight yourself in the law of the Lord and meditate on his word day and night?
Amen.
And there's a great promise, which we're going to touch here for the man who does that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to come back from the break, but I just have to say this. Delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We'll be right back.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox. And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices, and guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Well, today I found myself after searching all these years. And the man that I saw, he wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. I was lost when you found me here. I was broken beyond repair.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Man, I was lost when you found me. You know what? I don't think he necessarily found me. He's always been there. I've actually turned away from him, and then I realized that he was there, and then it began. So, all right, brother, where are we at now?
Well, here we are. The man who meditates in God's law day and night. And this is a theme throughout Scripture. The Lord spoke to Joshua and said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein both day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now, that's the King James version of it, because that's how I memorized it, when I was born again, that was one of the first. Somebody handed me a little packet of Navigator cards and said, "Memorize these." Mm-hmm. And one of the ways you learn how to meditate on Scripture is by memorizing passages from God's Word.
Yes.
In fact, Psalm 1 is a great psalm to memorize. Mm-hmm. So, because there are moments when our minds, we're just under assault, it seems like, and it's hard to get focused. But if you'll start reciting to yourself the Word of God, mm-hmm. it feeds your inner man, it quickens your spirit. It's not just something that happens in your mind. Mm-hmm. It quickens your spirit, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It comes as the Holy Spirit moved on the writers. And so when I read Psalm 1, it's like tuning the guitar. I'm getting in tune with the Holy Spirit. These are the words of God. And as I say what God says, we're coming into, I'm getting in tune with Him. And that edifies my spirit. But the man who meditates, listen to verse 3. Here's the promise. He's like a tree. Think about that for a minute. The man who meditates, he is like a tree. And not just any tree, but he's a tree planted. Mm-hmm. I mean, let the wind blow. Let the storm come. Mm. This tree has been planted. It's been planted by God. And look where it is planted. It's planted by streams of water. In other words, the water of the Word of God that nurtures and strengthens and builds up. God takes you and I, Raoul, as men, and as we meditate on His Word, He plants us by this living stream of truth, and He promises that we're going to yield our fruit in season. Now, you mentioned that when you started Band of Brothers, there was a handful of men, and then it went down to two.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know what you thought at that point. And I realize it was just a Bible study, but, you know, I got to wonder about your teaching skill if you start with seven or eight, and all of a sudden there's just down to two, and the second one happens to be your best friend.
Yeah.
And it stayed like that for months, correct?
Yep.
So what happened?
You know, God intervened. I think He allowed us to be able to learn that we needed to just rely on Him even more. And then what happened is that all of a sudden someone else started saying, "Yeah, I'd like to get involved in that." They actually asked if we knew of a Bible study, asked Ken. He said, "Hey, we've got one already." "Really? Where's it at?" Or they want to know about it. And then that's where it led up. Then all of a sudden that guy wanted a Bible study. He wanted to know more of the Word of God. The men, the guys that were part of it the very first time, they were friends of mine. They like me. They love me, in a sense, to the point where they say, "Wow, he asked us to come be a part of a Bible study." Now, these were not men. These are guys that we actually went through recovery together, in a sense.
Sure.
And I told them, I'll never forget, at the breakfast that we were having every Friday morning, I said, "I don't know, guys, I just got to let you know." And I was a fairly new Christian, and I said, "You know, I'm just kind of feel on my heart that I want to have a Bible study at my home, and I'd like to invite each and every one of you guys to come to my apartment, basically, and do this Bible study with us at this given time. And I know that you guys have all must be Christian, because you said you've either go to church, or I heard you say you own a Bible, or that you believe in God. And so I figured that this would kind of be right up our alley, and I'd love to do it with you guys." And they all showed up, every guy that was there. They came that following one, but they started to fall away the next few weeks. So
sure. But little did you know at that moment where this was all going to lead.
Yeah.
It's like one of the emails, which I was very drawn to this morning, and I saw it earlier in the week, in somebody writing, inquiring, and saying, you know, our church has nothing for men. We can't seem to sustain it. What are you doing with Band of Brothers that's so vibrant and alive and explosive? I mean, people are looking for answers. And, you know, I know you feel this way. I do. I wish we could just put this in a box and send it to them and say, open up and you'll have a meaningful men's ministry. But that's not the way it happened. This thing has been born out of the fire of the Holy Spirit. But that's what this says, that we're going to yield fruit in season. And so there's a time of sowing. You're waiting for the harvest to come. And then there's a time when the fruit comes forth. And you're experiencing now fruit from a season gone by. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, like all of us, we don't stop in the harvest, but there's another seed time. And so we don't know what the next chapter is that God has for us. But blessed is the man who delights in God's word. Mm-hmm. Because the scripture says that he's always going to be yielding fruit, whether you yield fruit in your 30s, in your 40s, in your 50s, in your 60s, your 70s. In fact, I have a burden right now to say to people that are in their 70s and their 80s, don't just slide towards the finish line. I've gotten a whole new vision for how God wants to make the last chapter the best.
Yes.
That and that's what Jesus did. He saved the best until last.
Mm.
And, you know, we just can't give up on God.
Mm.
And that's what this psalmist is saying here. But there's also a warning. He says the man who meditates is going to prosper and in season. Won't happen overnight. But look at verse 4. But not so the wicked. Period. End of story. May look like they're prospering.
Mm-hmm.
May look like things are going well. But it's like the man who builds his house on the rock and the man who builds his house on the sand. Sooner or later, they're going to be blown away, the scripture says here, just like chaff, that they're not going to be able to stand in the day of judgment. But Raul, read verse 6 for me, because I love this passage, and it's something that we need to keep in mind throughout the day.
I'm going to do that right after this break. We'll be right back.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. And I was asked to read verse 6 of Psalm 1. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
There you go. This is not if or maybe. This is absolute.
Mm-hmm.
So our righteousness is a gift from God through Jesus Christ. It all starts with grace. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made. God made us the righteousness of God in Christ. We've been given sonship. And so now that we have this righteousness, the Bible says, okay, well, live up to your calling. Measure up to what God has done for you. We don't do it to earn his love. We already have his love, but we measure up because we love him and we want to please him. And the promise here is the Lord watches over the righteous. So, Raul, I can say to you today without any shadow of doubt, whether the wind blows, the storm comes, or the sun shines, the Lord is watching over you. Everything that touches you touches him. But I can also say the way of the wicked, it's going to perish. And there is a temporary definition of that, and there's also an eternal definition of that. But blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. So today the challenge is to enjoy and experience the fullness of the presence of God, to keep my mind focused on the Word of God and to delight in it.
Absolutely. And this is where we encourage all of those who are listening. Brother, it's not about that you need to go out and start a ministry. It doesn't mean that you have to go out and you're going to end up doing all these things that, gosh, this is what I heard. You know, maybe this was going to happen with me. No, brother, I have to submit myself completely to God. Let him. He knows exactly what he wants you to be doing. All we have to do is be willing to not only hear it and receive it, okay, but to be courageous enough to do it. And that's where sometimes, my buddy Ken, who was with me through those times when it was very lean, so to speak, in the Bible study, that we continued to pray together. We didn't give up. We persevered. We said, if nothing else, it's just going to be the two of us. And that's what we did. And eventually, in God's timing, it began to grow once again. So when you start to think that all of a sudden things are falling apart, it's not working, I'm praying to God, just persevere. You have to kind of, you know what? Sometimes there's a pruning that needs to take place. There are things that need to be removed out of my life so that God's wellspring can actually flow through my heart uninterrupted and with no obstruction. So those are the things that sometimes we just have to do. But knowing that and doing it are two different things. Brother, I would love if you would just pray for our brothers and sisters who are listening right now.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to be our teacher, our leader, our guide today. And in Jesus' wonderful name, we pray blessing on every brother who is listening, that they would be edified, strengthened, and built up in their most holy faith. Lord, direct our path today and use us for your glory, we ask. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.